Okay, my friends, this is where we are. This is where you are staying in Palm Springs. It's got sleeps 14 people. That's what they put on there, which means there's tons of room, pool, spa, Augusta putting green.
Augusta.
I mean, you got like a rock Zen formation. Also, you can meditate Shabbos afternoon right there. Sit in the middle. You can meditate. Look at this. Jacuzzi and waterfalls, cascades on both sides.
Wait, are we able now to go on a jacuzzi and Shabbat?
No. That's fine. Here we go. Okay.
Now,
do you guys all have your Arabic worksheets in front of you?
Yes.
What I want to do is I'm trying to figure out a way to cram. This is a 20-part course. We're going to cram it into just the next few minutes here right now. An Arabin masterclass. All right? How to build an Arab. You go anywhere. You go away with your family. You go wherever you go. Or you're on this trip. How we're going to build an Arab so we can carry all throughout here. And more than that, we might get you to be able to carry even beyond here. Because Rabbi Mann just told me it's a gated community, which also is going to need some type of work on the Arab. But I'll teach you that as well in a moment. We have some mnemonics here to help you memorize. I created some crazy mnemonics so we could memorize some of these ideas. But let's begin. The idea of needing an Eruv. Eruv comes from the word Eruv, which means to mix, to blend it together. What are you blending together? You're blending all the houses in a certain area together, so it's considered a private area. That's why it's called Eruv. Eruv means to blend together. In Eruv. Now, everyone thinks the wire that's around the city is called the Eruv. It's not. That's a piece of the mechanism of the laws of Eruvin to allow you to carry. So number one, the first domain. There's four types of domains in Hilcha Shabbos. Number one is what you call Rishus HaRabim. Rishus HaRabim means a public domain. That is Aser De'araisa to carry in from the Torah. Right? You're not allowed to carry in a public domain. A major city street is a public domain. Outside of a house is a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain. You can carry inside of here on Shabbos, and certainly inside one of your rooms. We'll talk about this nice fat couch area. You put your feet up there, play a little backgammon checkers on that table. Okay? Now, we're going to see about that, because it's open on this side. We'll talk about all that. But a private domain is called a Rishus HaYachid, a private domain. That you can carry. The trick of making a great Eruv is figuring out how to make your Rishus HaRabim, your public domain, into a private domain. If I can convert a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYachid, then I am able to carry. There are two more types of Rishuyos that you need to know about. One is called a Makom Patur. It's an exempt Makom. It's not Rishus HaYachid, it's not Rishus HaRabim. It's in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim and let's say a fire hydrant. That's a good example. An example of a Makom Patur. You know what? Our example of Rishus HaRabim will always be Broadway in Manhattan. The biggest street you could imagine. Broadway in Manhattan. The example of Rishus HaYachid for today will be right here, this room. The example for Makom Patur is a fire hydrant. Fire hydrant's good, for example, let's say you realize you have your wallet on you, right? You want to put it down on something. So you can put it down in a Makom Patur right there in the public. But leave that alone for right now. Wait, kicking it, moving it, not for now. Number four is an in-between area, this you need to know, called a Karmelis. Karmelis is spelled Kaf Resh Mem Lamet Yud Taf. Karmelis is a place that's called a Rishus HaRabim Derabbanan, a rabbinic Rishus HaRabim. It's not Deraisa Rishus HaRabim, it's Derabbanan Rishus HaRabim. So actually, a great way to create an Eruv is you got to first take your Rishus HaRabim, find a way to knock it down to a Derabbanan Rishus HaRabim. Because look at it this way. If you have where the Torah says that's a public area, take Broadway. There's nothing you could do. The Torah said you can't carry there. So what are you going to try to do? You're going to make it a house? You can't make it a house. It's a public area. But if I could find a way to make a public area into a Derabbanan public area, then I could start playing games with wires and doors and things like that. Let me give you a one-minute side point, a shkafic side point, that's very important for your knowledge going forward. People make fun of certain halachas, for example, selling chametz. God doesn't want you to own chametz on Pesach, so you sell it, and people say, what is that, a joke, a shtick? You found a way to beat God, to work around the system? Eruv's another one that people love to laugh at. Torah said you can't carry there.
and you found a shtick to find a way that you can work the system? This is my explanation about those loopholes. I love loopholes. I think they're one of the most beautiful parts of Judaism. Why? God says when it's de'oraisa, when it's in the Torah, there's absolutely no loophole. There's nothing you could do. It's from the Torah. There's nothing you could do. But there's another part of my Torah, and that's the stuff the rabbis added, the derabbanan. Rabbis added a lot of stuff. And because the rabbis added a lot of stuff, they needed to allow you to find different ways to be lenient, or else it would be too much for you. It's too much. You take all the de'oraisa and all the derabbanans, if there's no loopholes, it'll be too much. So through the Gemara, through the Halacha, God wants us to use our abilities to find a way to, if we need, if people need, to be able to survive. Therefore, the loophole many times could be a beautiful thing in Halacha. There's actually a Gemara in Erevin where Hashem comes down and says, Nitzchuni banai, my children beat me and I love it. Hashem loves when we use His rules to find a way to work around, to make life more sustainable. It's a beautiful thing. It's not a bad thing. And therefore, by selling chametz, for example, what we do is we first turn it into a derabbanan. Because you can't play games with deraisa. How do you turn it into derabbanan? Anybody know what we do to the chametz to make sure that it's only chametz derabbanan? What do we do to make sure it's derabbanan? Anybody know? Yes?
We nullify it.
We nullify it. Bittel. Bittel. By nullifying the chametz, it's not ours anymore. It's now derabbanan. On top of the derabbanan, we sell it so it's mamish, not ours. Once you could convert the deraisa to a derabbanan, then you could start playing shtick. So by the Erev, we do the same thing. If it's mamish a deraisa public area, you're stuck. But if you could convert it to a derabbanan, Rishus HaRabim, then the rabbis say, let's have fun. Now you can play the games. So our job is to try to find a way to turn a Rishus HaRabim deraisa into a Rishus HaRabim derabbanan. Let's begin. The way that we're going to do that, so you see we did number one on your worksheet, which was the different domains, the four domains of Shabbos. Now let's define what a Rishus HaRabim actually is, and you'll see not many places are really a Rishus HaRabim. Not as many as you think. Here we go. I have a mnemonic for you to memorize this. Did I put it on the sheet? Yeah. Some robots pay pennies, my dear. You can make up your own mnemonic if that works better for you. Some robots pay pennies, my dear. So here we go. The S of the sum is the space. How big does an area need to be for it to be a Rishus HaRabim? It needs to be 16 amos by 16 amos. You know what that is? 16 amos is, and I calculated this exactly, if you add Dirk Nowitzki, Akeem Olajuwon, Pau Gasol, right? Pau Gasol, and I couldn't find a fourth 7-foot player exactly, but you need four 7-feet player.
No, he's 7'1".
Okay, but let's say when he gets a little older, he's going to shrink a little bit, right?
Marc Gasol.
So Marc Gasol or Rudy
Gobert.
Rudy Gobert in 10 years, right? And Rudy Gobert in 10 years. You take their bodies and lay it on the floor, and then you put their bodies the other way as well. That's the area of a Rishus HaRabim. It's 28 feet. 28 feet, 16 amas, okay? 16 amas, that's how you calculate it. So that's the S. Now the R, right? Because the mnemonic is what? Some robots. The R is, it needs to not have a roof. No roof. So, take again, Broadway. Broadway, certainly 28 feet, 16 amas. It has no roof over it. You know what would be an area that has a roof that's huge? Take the Houston Astrodome. They still, you play that or no?
Right.
They still play in the Astrodome?
No, it's a new building.
But they have a thing on top also?
Yeah.
Yeah. So a roof on top makes it a Rishus HaYachid there at that game, right? It makes it a private domain, right? No roof, right? So the R is the roofing situation.
Is it an awning considered a roof?
Like, we're going to see about awnings. Do you have any awnings over here?
Like over there, above the car.
We're going to talk. Maybe you guys are going to want to play elimination on the roof. We're going to see. We have to talk about the overhead, the mirpeset, the overhangs. It's going to be a great job this year. Look at this. Don't shove anybody. This cactus. Live cactus. Okay?
This
prickly right here. Okay, let's continue. Now, next. Next, you've got to look at whether or not it what you call is a public domain. A public domain, right? Is it used by the public? Meaning, if I have a huge space, let's say Bill Gates goes and decides to buy Broadway. He now owns Broadway. So again, it's no longer Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. Is it huge? Yeah. Is there a cover over it? No. But he privately owns it. Now, he currently doesn't own Broadway, so it's a public domain. The moment it becomes a privately owned place, it's no longer...
Let's say Bill Gates, like, you could own an island.
Bill Gates owns an island. Once he purchases and owns the island, it becomes a Rosh Hashanah Durabanan, a Carmelist, the fourth category.
So I can walk around holding stuff on that island.
Rosh Hashanah Durabanan. Still Durabanan. Then you got to figure out what to do. That's when you create your...
What?
What?
What do the P stand for?
P stands for public. Public property. Or private. Whatever what you want to use.
You can carry in the stadium.
What? So in the Houston Astrodome, you could definitely carry. It's covered over. When it's covered.
And someone else
the Toronto Blue Jays game. You could have a situation where you're walking around with your soda at the Toronto game, and all of a sudden they decide to uncover the top. You're stuck with your drink.
You throw it down.
So okay. Does the current owner of the team own the stadium?
What?
Does it, for like these things, like where owners...
Wait, you have
switch
to be
excellent.
A game,
so it's still,
right?
At least it's Rishus Rabban Derabanan.
Wait, you have to play the game on Shabbat. Anyways, right?
What? Yeah, yeah, not in the spirit of Shabbos. Talked about the first day. Good job. Good call. Good call. No, you're there by accident. You didn't realize. Okay, next. Yeah, number four. You fell. You thought it was the shul. You walked into the wrong room. Okay, number four. The fourth issue in the some robots pay pennies is the people. It has to have 600,000 people. Shishim Ribo. 600,000 people that cross through there. Okay, 600,000 people. So this is one of the most controversial parts of any Erev. Why? Because what did the Gemara mean? Did the Gemara mean per year, per day, per hour, any given time, at one time, at per day, there's got to be 600,000 people? There's no place that constantly have 600,000 people. So what does it mean? What does this Chumrah mean? What does it mean? And how far do we go with it? So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, you need to have a location, it needs to be a location, that can have, or does have at some point, 600,000 people with an 8-mile by 8-mile space. So Broadway hits your Shishim Ribo. Broadway will hit your Shishim Ribo. The center of Paris, France will have your Shishim Ribo. Yes, what do you want to say?
And, like, that's why Coney Island, that's why, because of Coney Island, Bobbers doesn't have a air.
Rav Moshe Feinstein did not want an Erev in some of these locations, let's say the Lower East Side and places like that, right? In Manhattan, for example. Rav Moshe Feinstein was against the Erev in Manhattan, well, Lower East Side, let's say, for example. Brooklyn. It was all based in Brooklyn, all based on his definitions of this 600,000. He had a machmir understanding of how frequent and how much they need to be there to understand that 600,000. Yes.
For every street, does Rashut HaRabim end and a new one begins?
No, Rashut HaRabim is considered one space, one big space. And there's everything.
So the whole street is...
So can you connect it all together? Exactly. What if it's not contiguous? Yes. What if you have a street
parts
and then a curve?
The awning,
can I add this to that?
Roof,
excellent. Confusing. Yes.
Do you count the other side also? Or
what's the other side?
Like, because you know how there's two streets? There's, like, there's...
One That's what he's asking. It's all part of one space. We consider it all one Rashut HaRabim. The question with Broadway, why I like Broadway in Manhattan, is because Broadway goes straight for a while, but then it curves at the bottom. So many wanted to say that bottom part should not be included in the way you assess the 600,000 because it curves in a different direction.
How many people still be carrying in that curve?
What?
Will people still be carrying in that
curve? Yeah, so maybe it's only carrying Durbanon in that area, not the Araisa. How do you count your 600,000? You can give a share. I can give a share just on the 600,000 thing alone. Very heavy, very complicated. I'm going to move on only because you obviously are clear on that one over here. Next on the list for Rosh Hashanah is the May. Right, is May? What's that?
My
stands for Mefulash. It's got to go straight through. Your Rosh Hashanah's got to go straight. If I have a huge area that cuts back, zigzags all over the place, it's not considered a Rosh Hashanah. It needs to have a main thoroughfare that cuts straight. Beverly cuts straight. Broadway cuts pretty straight. Major blocks cut pretty straight. By the Eiffel Tower, the Champs-Élysées, straight. Mom is straight all the way.
Yeah,
that's straight. What?
I went down it.
See?
To the Arc de Triomphe.
The Arc de Triomphe.
That road's really straight.
Straight
but
road.
In Shanghai.
Okay. Next. Next, the D stands for a door. It cannot have a door closing it. There cannot be a door where you seal it off. So if you have, let's say, on Beverly Boulevard, in the most populated area of Beverly Boulevard, if middle of the night the street crew comes and they close up the street, they lock it with a huge gate, it no longer is a Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa. It no longer is a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. So now, there's your list of what makes a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. It's very easy then to make almost any place into a Rishus HaRabim Derabanan. You can add a door somewhere, make it Derabanan. You can add a roof, what?
Where would you add a door on a street?
I'm saying, let's say you have a big area. You can add a front, you can just place the door with the permission of the city. I'm saying there are ways you could find 600,000.
What if it's like a useless door? Like a door like
there's a machlokas. You need to close it once a year, once a day. Does it just need the hinges of the door? But let's say for argument's sake for now, it needs to be a door that's closed reliably every so often, and if the city wants to, we can just shut it down with quite ease, and it's there in place. So it's pretty easy to knock your Rishus HaRabim down from a Deraisa to a Derabanan. And now we begin to create our Erev. I got my... Because this place... Let's talk about here. There's no way there's a Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. What's our list?
It has a wall all around it.
Well, we got to figure that too. There are going to be gaps here. We're going to have to plug up these gaps so you guys can have a good football game over there right on that lawn. Look at that lawn. That lawn's made for football.
Yeah,
that's it, right here. Oh, that's the Augusta putting green. We'll have to have a... You have to flip a coin. The guys who are going to do putting in this hour and then football the next. It's the Augusta putting green.
Well, do we even have golf balls?
It's also pretty good touches, too.
Now,
if we don't have golf balls, then...
Well, you'll pick up or something. Walgreens. Okay, next. Now.
Walgreens.
Now, so now the key idea is to take your Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. What?
She brought more pictures.
Oh, more pictures. Oh, the front of the building. Good. Take your Rishus HaRabim Deraisa and to get it to a Derabot. Oh, wow. Look, you play cards on this table. Rishus HaRabim Deraisa. And this is the front.
That's a card table.
Yeah, beautiful hedges.
That one's the back end of the table. That one's a card table.
Now,
I feel like you're more setting than
here we go. Let's get it now to a Rishus HaRabim. Now we're a Rishus HaRabim Derabanan for sure. For sure. I mean, it's not Mefulash. It's not 600,000 people. It's got all the elements of a Rishus HaRabim Derabanan. And let's see what we could do here to make it a private domain. Let's make this a private domain so you can mamish carry anywhere over here. So first of all, I'm looking at this area here, and I don't see many gaps to the outside.
There probably are none.
We're going to have to see.
The side gate.
This looks like a blocked wall over here. They got hedges back there. We're going to see if any breaks ruin it from being a private domain. But this actually, from an Erevan standpoint, is quite easy. The question is if you want to play ball in front of the house. See here at the front of the house? Nice hedges. You want to play out here or something, or you want to spatzir. Your block wants to take you like on a Shabbos, nice Shabbos stroll, right? Uh-huh. To the Shalom Zachar, three houses down, right? Can you go over here and bring your cake, right? So that we'll get to in a minute to be able to take care of that. So now let's talk about the opposite side. What is the definition of a Rishus Hayachid, of a private domain? What's our mnemonic on this one? Our definition of a Rishus Hayachid. I didn't do one here. Did I do one? Okay. No, we broke it up in different parts. Rishus HaYachid. So Rishus HaYachid needs three walls. Three walls. By the way, that's good for this thing over here. One wall, two wall, three walls. Three walls is enough for a Rishus HaYachid. The Rishus HaYachid needs to be 10 tefachim high, which is about 40 inches. 40 inches, like a sukkah. Same height, minimum height as a sukkah. Exactly, that's a rishus. That's a domain. 10 tefachim is 40 inches. 40 inches, I would say, is up to here. Right over here. That's 40 inches. Okay, 40 inches. So number one, you have three walls. Number two, 10 tefachim high. The space there has to be at least 4 by 4 tefachim. That's easy. You got that easily. Done. Next, you got that. How do you make a wall in halacha? Let's say you want to make an area and make a wall in halacha. Let's say this was opened up and you want to make a wall. Very easy to make a halachic wall. You don't have to build in a solid block of 10 tefachim high and a full wall. So you have to make sure whatever you're going to put there is 10 tefachim high. So if you have hedges, see over here these hedges, these flowers and everything? If that's 10 tefachim high, you're already good. You got your wall. So first you measure to make sure it is 10 tefachim high. That's one. Number two, what you could do is you can create, or let's say you have an opening over here. If you have a big opening over here, so it's only going to ruin this from being a private area if the opening is a pirza yeser mi eser. They're spelled differently, you know, they sound the same, so I'll say it the Avna way. Pirza yeter mi eser.
a pirza more than 10. This one is 10 amos. If there's a breach that is 10 amos big. How big is 10 amos? I would say it's Hakeem Olajuwon, and let's take half of Dirk Nowitzki. What?
Muggsy
Bogues. Hakeem Olajuwon, Muggsy Bogues, and Magic Johnson's hand. Okay? That, if you have a breach that big, then it could ruin your Eruv. Then it could ruin your Eruv. So it's very simple how you replug up an area. Mistama, you're not going to have an area that's open here. Looking at it, you are not going to have an area that is open like that. None of these spots are open like that. So the way you close up an open area, and this is good anyways for a sukkah, you should know this as well. Very easy. You don't need to fill in a whole wall. First of all, you make sure that the top goes to 10 tefachim. So you could take a string. You could bring with you mamish some string. You take a row of string and you put it from the top of where the hedges end to the where the house begins again. So you take a string and you tie it from one end to the other end. So that gets your height. Now, to go to the bottom, you need to have another string within every three tefachim. Because within three tefachim is a halachic principle called lavud, which means it closes up. So I would say, take a string at the top of 10 tefachim, okay, which is not high, I keep going like this, but it's here. Take a string over here to here, assuming this is 10 amas apart. It's not. And then you take a string within 3 tefachim, and you make the next string down here, and then you'll probably need maybe one more string, 3 tefachim, and you're done. That's a wall. You've closed it up. It's very easy to close up a wall in halacha. It is not hard at all. Another trick to close up a wall, which is how we do it in our cities. You don't see strings at every three tefachim. How do they do it in our cities? What? So first of all, freeways are good. Freeways are good. And by the way, in Flatbush, those who use the Eruv, there they have elevated trains. You ever see those elevated trains? They're like on the top and then everybody's walking underneath. Right? So they use the edge of those elevated trains as part of the Eruv. What we do here, where there is no freeway, in an area that doesn't have a freeway, we have a very simple method, and this is a critical part of the Eruv. Most Eruvin in the world use this, because they can't put rope every three tefachim around the city. It's not going to work. What you do is you build something called a Tzuras HaPesach. It's the most important part of creating the Eruv. It's the hardest to maintain. It needs the most expertise. What a Tzuras HaPesach is you create door frames all around the city. A door frame is a piece of wood here, string on top, and a piece of wood there. The way you create mini door frames all around the city is using telephone poles. So you need permission from the city. That's sometimes the hardest thing. Some cities don't want to give permission for a bunch of rabbis to be messing with their telephone poles. It took a lot of time to get the new LA Eruv permits and permissions from the city to use the telephone poles. Jews are not going to be creating thousands of poles in the middle of nowhere. There are plenty of poles and trees here.
What do the Jews do to it?
All they got to do is just tie a string around it. But they just don't want... It's dangerous to telephone poles for Jews to be going up and checking it and checking the string. These guys are going up. They're Con Edison. They have hard hats. They know what they're doing. You're going to have rabbis trained in Brooklyn coming into L.A., climbing up trees. It took a lot of permission for us to be able to do it. But if you look carefully, if you go online, laaruv.org, there's a picture of where the Eruv boundaries are. We should maybe take a drive out there one day and see. You'll actually, if you look up, between the telephone poles and the trees, there's a very thin wire. So what you do is, you can also, if it's too wide of a gap and you don't have that much rope, you could take yourself a wooden stick, one piece of bamboo, stick it in the ground. Take another stick, stick it in the ground at the other end. And just take a string and nail it at the top of it, and that's what's called a Tzuras HaPesach. That creates an Eruv. You can do multiple Tzuras HaPesachim. You could do them one after the other after that. That's how they create them in these bungalow colonies, in these summer homes. They create Tzuras HaPesach. There they use something very cool. In these summer homes, people in New York have these things called summer homes where they go away to this other area. And there's all these homes connected to each other. What they'll use is the bottom of the homes have this open space. They'll use the bottoms and connect one to one to one to each other and therefore create the Eruv. There's all these creative ways to create an Eruv. So over here, when you guys get here, I would look to check if there's any area bigger than 10 amos that has a breach. From every picture I printed out, I can't seem to find a breach of more than 10 amos. Now, there's a second layer here
that it's a gated community. Rabbi Mann told me that it's a gated community. If, in fact, it is a gated community, you're opening up a whole other possibility of carrying in the streets itself. In a gated community, there you need something else besides the Erev. And most people don't realize this when they go to a hotel for Shabbos or they're away in a program or something like that. Besides just a closed area to carry, Shlomo HaMelech came up with a gzera. That gzera was called an Eruv Chatzeros. Eruv Chatzeros. It means the following. Since I have other people living in the same hotel, you're in your room, I'm in my room, I can't carry in the hallway without your permission. Because we share it together. You understand? I can only take care of the stuff that I own. But if I don't own the hallway, you own part of it, I need permission to carry there. Right, man? So we figured out the following. When you get here, these guys know how to check. They're looking for a pirza yeter mi eser. A pirza yeser mi eser. An opening that's bigger than 10 amos. If there is, I taught them how to close it up. You just got to bring a little bit of wire, and easier than all the wire, a little bit of wire and two bamboo sticks. Make it Tzuras HaPesach. It's very easy. But it doesn't look like you're going to have a pirza yeser mi eser here. Because you could use the hedges. You just need it to be 10 tefachim high. So you're really good all around. What we're talking about now is the possibility of carrying in the gated community itself. So if you mamish drive around and see it's an enclosed gated community, more or less it's enclosed gated community, you're going to need Shlomo HaMelech's gzera of a Eruv Chatzeros.
Oh yeah.
Eruv Chatzeros. Oh, the matzah box or the challahs. The way you create an Eruv Chatzeros, it blends everyone in that area together so you can carry there. The way you do that is you need the permission of everybody there. So you're not going to go knocking and going to think you're nuts. You're not going to knock on anybody's door. The way you could do that halachically now is via the superintendent. What that means is the guy at the front gate who lets you in with the walkie-talkie. Right? The guy at the front gate with the walkie-talkie, you take a few dollars, maybe take $7, $8, give it to him at the front and say, this is a gift. We want to be able to give it to you so that we're allowed to walk around on the Sabbath. Okay? So we're allowed to, you know, carry stuff around on the Sabbath in the streets. He'll look at you like you're crazy. He'll nod and say, okay, and then put it in the drawer where he let you in. That's fine. And then number two, you take a box of matzahs and you put it in one of the homes. So no one's going to let you put matzahs in their homes. You take a box of matzahs with you and you keep it in one of these spaces over here. And you've now made an Eruv Chatzeros.
Why specifically matzah?
Matzah is only because it lasts the whole year. But you could do challahs. You don't need to be there. You're only there for one Shabbos. So you need something, a meal that can last, so the Erev can last, but the truth is you're only using the Erev for Shabbos.
So
you could use challahs. No, challahs, something substantial for a meal.
Can we do a cookie?
What?
A cookie.
A cooking? No. Something you kovea suda upon it. So matzah or challah, take a couple rolls of challah, and that's it. You just put it down and say, this is for the Erev Chatzeres. It's a whole tefillah in the beginning of your sidurim. You can make the special tefillah, bracha on Erev Chatzeres, and you've set it up. So you have double whammy. You have Erevin, you have Erev Chatzeres, and you are mamish good to go in the place. It's much easier than people think. Yes, Roman.
If within this small property, let's say there's like multiple, like a small house on the property.
Yes.
Is that enough to have the surrounding area, or do you still need an area?
What do you mean a small house on the property? Meaning off this one over here?
Yeah.
This one?
Yeah.
Well, you're surrounded. This whole area is surrounded. Doesn't make a difference. I said they can do anything in this area here. You're good. And you're doubling up because you're taking care of the Erev Chatzeres via the gated community. Just mamish make sure it is mamish a gated community. Sometimes they call it gated community because the gate at the front. And often there is no gate in the end. The back have nothing surrounding them. It's open to a huge golf course and everything else. So double check that before they start carrying out the front. Back here, I don't see any pirza yeser me'eser over here in this area. Okay, we're good to go. We got this?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll stop there on the Hilchas Erevin part. We'll stop there in the Hilchas. Oh, I never heard anybody beg for more Erevin. Wow, that's good.
No, I mean, it's a very interesting topic. I like
okay, good. I love it. I love it. You kidding me? I love Erevin. Yeah. I love Erevin. Once you get into the heavy-duty Erevin, mamish really Erevin, then it's a whole other level. Let's just stop because I want to do with you. We should be doing every day a little bit. Musar and Rabbi Block brought his Mesilas Yesharim here. So I'd love to give...